Hello, my name is Matthew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anger. Hey, guys. You know, if you're lucky, you have a chorus of people praying for you when you do something like this. And the chorus of prayers that I got were telling me to be bold. And I had one friend that emailed me and said it's okay to cry. So I'm going to be a bold crybaby, I guess. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, tonight, as my brother John Elmore would say, we are calling you on your word. You've promised us that where two or more of us are gathered in your holy name, you'll be among us. Father, you know the anxiety and the shame I have for what I'm about to share. You've called me up here because I know someone in this room needs to hear my story and walk away with hope and peace that comes only from you. Lord, this has nothing to do with me. My story is the story of every man and woman. I have nothing to be ashamed of, anxious about. For you're the great Redeemer. The work is already done. May I just be a vessel to shine your light upon a hill. God, let my words ring your truth. Let my story be for your glory. Give me the strength to shine for you so that darkness has no ground. I ask this in your holy name, amen. At least make it through the prayer. My childhood was a confusing juxtaposition of joy and darkness. My parents were always there for me, loved me, and provided for me. My dad was and still is my hero for reasons only he and I may ever know and fully understand. I remember my sweet mom laughing, being silly with me, and often cooking and cleaning all night so I could sleep a few extra minutes in the morning. She'd still do this to this very day if I'd let her. They both recently went through Region 2, praise God. We were probably saying, Matthew, that's not very dark. And you're right, it's easier to talk about the good stuff. My whole life, I've tried to leave out the dark parts, but I need to be authentic and obedient. Somewhere between the ages of 7 and 9, a male neighbor and family friend molested me. Often, I tearfully mourn what was taken from me, the innocence lost, and my resulting ugly transformation into a raging, angry monster that I loathed. For the last 30 years, I've had nightmares of repeatedly pounding my fists into this man and feeling his bones crush. This was evil's impact on me and the resulting rage in my heart. I've walked around hating and being hated. Parents, please hear the quivering pleading in my voice. It's a remnant of me as an innocent child. Be vigilant for the sake of your children. Keep them close and hug them tight. The enemy's return on investment is too high, even with 30 seconds with a child. I love my parents very much, but in their brokenness, there was verbal and physical abuse. My mom once witnessed the rage in my eyes as I attempted to protect her, and she in turn decided to leave my dad to protect me. We left on my 11th birthday. My mom is the most courageous woman I know, but it still broke my heart and something died in me that day. I blamed God for everything that happened. I convinced myself that God didn't exist. My pride pursued accomplishments with a deep-seated rage in my heart. I received attention by excelling at academics and athletics. But even after a career-ending knee injury, I doubled down, seeking man's approval. I went on to law school, made the dean's list, got my MBA, landed a job at an elite law firm doing what I loved, real estate. I did an Ironman. I became a jiu-jitsu practitioner. Other dangerous patterns of abusing alcohol, marijuana, and turning to women for validation and comfort began. I am exhausted just thinking about all the lies I've led, gaining the world and losing my soul along the way. At about the age of 15, I also discovered an outlet for the rage in my heart. I became a serial fighter. My closest friends recall around 100 fights. But for each one they knew about, there was another I hid in embarrassment. I had a reckless desire to wreak havoc and hate and would gladly be the enforcer in any situation. I was sick and hurting. I liked the violence and the chaos. My poor mother would see my black eyes, broken noses, and stitches and beg me to stop fighting. I didn't. Some days I fought 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I was gorging on hate and anger. I fought husbands in front of their wives, some of my best friends, sons in front of their horrified mothers, had beer bottles broken across my face, stared down the barrel of at least 2 guns, had knives pulled out on me, fought men that have killed other men, have had 40 stitches in my face alone, too many broken noses to count, 2 life-sucking lawsuits, every bone in my hands broken, shoulders ripped out of socket, fingers that won't close from severed tendons and surgeries, and eventually fought my own brother in front of my little niece. Look at what the hate in my heart has done. There's some good parts coming. In this darkness, the Lord blessed me with a special friend. I've known Katie since we were 15. Our relationship was platonic, but I'd always call her during life's big moments. She'd tell me about church, her walk with the Lord, and how she loved the latest praise and worship music. That confirmed for me that she was a crazy weirdo, but she planted seeds in my heart. We had an opportunity to date, but she loved herself and the Lord enough to know my behavior was not okay. As we experienced brokenness in our unhealthy relationship, I decided we had to figure out what was wrong with her. That wasn't intended to be a joke. We started counseling, reading relationship books, and even took psychological tests. I remember going over the results of my tests. With a grim face, the counselor began to describe results that indicated I could be a psychopath, and there was no cure. For years, I had already believed I was different, and now the world slapped this label on me. It was Satan's attempt at a knockout blow. I spent the next 5 days with my heart racing at heart attack levels, and Satan's whispers started to attack my soul, telling me that suicide would be the safest thing for me and for everyone. I know what it feels like to put the cold barrel of a pistol in my mouth. Thank God he had planted a deep love in my heart for my parents and friends that gave me the smallest doubt about my diagnosis, and I reconsidered. As I read about this condition, something in me rejected his label that was being put on me. God led me to a book written about by a psychopath describing her thought processes. The author stated that psychopaths can't sympathize or empathize with people. That's where I parted ways with all the tests. I knew in my heart of hearts that I deeply loved and cared for people, and there was not a psychiatrist, counselor, or test that was going to convince me to believe Satan's lie. Devil is a liar. I chose to believe what God said about me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that God doesn't make mistakes, that I can choose to be John and not Judas, that I'm not a murdering adulterer, I'm David, that I'm not a persecutor of Christians, that I'm Paul, that I'm not a broken tax collector, but I'm Matthew. My warrior king rode into town, paid a ransom for me, and broke me out of prison so I could forever be a new creation in Christ. I marched back into the counselor's office and said I didn't believe the devil's lie and asked how he was going to help the psychopath sitting in front of him. It was an awesome moment, a turning point for me. The shepherd of this church often reminds us that he is a shepherd, but also one of the flock. He also reminds us that we are little priests, so pardon me while I preach something on my heart with urgency. Can I say something about labels? Satan uses labels to convince you that you are terminally unique. He wants to keep you isolated. It's the same lie, just different mutations of the lie. I think about the awful labels this world will slap on you and how badly they sting when they are your reality. Alcoholic, addicted, abuser, mentally handicapped, convict, rapist, child molester, baby murderer, psychopath, adulterer, weakling, incompetent, lazy, unloved, unwanted, irredeemable. But I find nothing in the living, breathing word of our Father that has any exceptions or caveats to his promise that we are all redeemed by grace through faith, manifest by our believing that he is the way, the truth, and the light, and we go to the Father through him. No exceptions, no caveats, no labels except sinner who has been redeemed by the sacrifice of the Lamb and the roar of the Lion of Judah. Do you understand that he tore down this lie that has trapped you? And if you don't believe me, believe his words, 1 Timothy 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. If you hear Paul's story and my story and my story and yours, can a little priest get his first amen? Whew. My dad came with me the first night at Regent. I'm so thankful that we could heal earthly wounds and develop a spiritual relationship. And I will never forget that night. I knew that God finally had me where he wanted me. I was nervous and wanted to bolt. I felt like a serial killer turning himself into the authorities. What the heck was I thinking? But I knew my life was going to change forever. I was tired of the path of endless destruction and chaos that came from doing things my way. I found myself in Regen in January of 2016. It was my first step to become a follower of Jesus Christ. God removed the scales from my eyes in step four inventory. This agonizing process of searching my soul and writing down the names of those who hurt me and those I've hurt allowed me to identify my sinful patterns. For example, I somehow pridefully believed that I was the arbiter of justice, but 1 Peter 2:23 screamed at me. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him that judges justly. I was not teaching anyone anything. I was furthering hate and division. I had been God's foe. Seeing the list of those who hurt me and the very long list of hearts had broken and all the damage I'd caused to those closest to me caused me to have an aha moment. Just as Jesus had died and suffered for my awfulness, he also died for the man that molested me. I know it may not sound brilliant, but for me it was like breaking out of prison, freedom from my grievance against the world, no longer having to spew hate, venom, and vicious blows. Just as he promised, I was free. What a sweet season of life, knowing that God is good and he will complete the work he started in me, bringing all things to light, confessing all my brokenness and asking for forgiveness from God and those I've harmed. Feels like being fully known and fully loved. I know I'll spend eternity in heaven. What could be sweeter than that? Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, came to this earth in the greatest act of love and laid down his life for me. He bore the wrath of God and the sin of the world. God allowed him to suffer all so we didn't have to. I have a deep passion for telling others about how Christ freed me because I know he can do the same for them. Oftentimes, I can't shut up about it. I dance with death and hate, and I have been drugged into the enemy's deep waters. And as he's pulled me out, revived me, and redeemed me with a gasp of air, I have life. I'm so thankful for the life I've found in Christ. My life has done a 180-degree turn. God has freed me from abusing marijuana and alcohol. I haven't been in a fistfight in over 2 years. I no longer idolize my business or chasing money. This year, I've had the honor to lead a group of amazing men through Regen with my friend Matthew. These men bless me every day, ensuring I'm not lost in my own problems, knowing that God is stirring their hearts to seek him, that he is allowing us to remind them that the Father's lifeboat is at their fingertips. My relationship with my dad, mom, and the rest of my family have been restored and renewed in our common bond, Jesus Christ. My brother Jared and I have forgiven one another 5 years after our hatred came to physical blows. And we recently were together when our 94-year-old grandmother went home to meet our Heavenly Father. There is nothing sweeter than forgiveness from and for your family and knowing you will spend all of eternity with them. My anger and impatience still surfaces, especially with those I love the most. I fail them at times. but like David, once a murderous adulterer, I choose to have a repentant heart and desire to be a man of God. When I fail, I confess to Josh and Matthew in my community group. They remind me that I'm forgiven and show me God's grace and truth in the midst of my brokenness. No need to hang my head in shame, believing and shackled by the lies of the enemy. I resolve to continue fighting the good fight. My behavior may falter at times, but my heart is forever changed. I'm never going back. I'm safe in my Father's arms. Remember, Katie, after Regen, I confess my sins to her that are every girl's worst nightmare. The world told me not to tell her anything. Every fiber in my being screamed, no, you'll lose her forever. On one of the worst days of my life, I set my sweet friend down and confessed the depths of my sin. I was a serial philanderer turning myself in, not because I had been caught, but because I love the Lord and choose to obey him. I watched the pain in her eyes and saw the devastation my sin caused. I had destroyed her trust. In humility, I asked her for forgiveness, fully knowing that there would be consequences to my sin. Katie and I did not speak after that day for 4 months. Those were the hardest yet rewarding 4 months of my life. My faith in God was renewed as I walked with him in this season of solitude, diving deep into his word and rediscovering his truths. My relationship with Jesus grew as I was forced to seek his will, not Matthew's. I had no idea if Katie would ever speak to me again, and I could not idolize her or our relationship. So I ravenously pursued a relationship with God and used the gift of singleness to build a foundation for my life. Today, by the grace of God, Katie and I are building trust day by day, and we're currently attending Watermark's premarital merge class together. So what would I tell you? I would first tell you that God is pursuing you because you mean everything to him. Even if you have been in the darkest places, your Father is calling you to come to him. His only son suffered a brutal death to pay a ransom for you so you would not suffer eternal separation from the Father. He is ready to welcome you with open arms. He knew you would be here tonight and walk through these doors. The friends that pursued you along the way are God's love for you. You will break free from bondage and find rest when you believe in Jesus' holy name. And then you go tell everyone else about the good news about how, like me, God saved your life from the pit. Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. My name is Matthew. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anger. God saved my life.